Happy Monday, everybody. It's October 4th, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And everything we do, including archiving this podcast, is over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. We have a brand new issue of Equity and Access magazine. Went up on site on Friday. It is absolutely excellent. Today's Monday. All right. And our guest today is this ties in, Melvin Hines Jr., who is the founder, CEO of Upswing. And you'll find out all about Upswing, which is on a mission to end, okay, any challenges in college for non-traditional students. It's a wonderful program. And Melvin is our guest today. And also, I might add, in the magazine, there was a beautiful article he wrote about his travels to Tanzania, okay, which is the ancestral home of his family, all right? And it's really just a beautiful article. It's in there, and it talks about the whole idea of opportunity and equity in America versus other countries, et cetera, et cetera. So you're really going to enjoy the show, and I'm going to bring Melvin on in just a few seconds. I want to make sure you understand we do archive at ace-ed.org, and our new website all about social emotional learning is seltoday.org, seltoday.org. Please go over there, see what we're doing and all that. It's really important. We've set it up really nicely. All right, just getting started over there, but we do have a big SEL Today section now in our Equity and Access Journal. So two websites to remember, seltoday.org, and they're linked, by the way, and also ace-ed.org. Okay, where our magazine is and where this podcast will be archived. And so without further ado, let's talk to Melvin. Hi, Melvin. Good morning. It's Larry here.
Hi, good morning, Larry. It's so great to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend. I'm so glad. If I remember correctly, we were going to do the show a couple of months ago, and we had technical problems that day. Was that what happened? Yeah, so I'm so
that's
glad.
That's true, that's true.
Yeah, it was just nuts. I'm just glad you're here today, and thank you for that beautiful article in the magazine.
Yeah, thank you all for hosting me. It was really great having the opportunity to share some of the experiences that I've had, and I think, you know, the things that you all are doing here are so wonderful, so I'm glad I had an opportunity to contribute and participate.
It's just a mutual admiration society. What can I say? It is. But we love the work you're doing, and I'm just so glad you work with us, et cetera, et cetera. We can help you get the word out. Tell us about Upswing. Okay, your baby. Tell us about Upswing. Yeah.
So Upswing is a college platform, and what we've done is we are helping students who are either trying to eventually get to college, or those who are already in college and are trying to get to graduation, ultimately succeed. You know, many of the students that we work with are first-time students, first-gen
mm-hmm,
students.
Sure.
A lot of them are non-traditional students. They are, you know, adult learners. They are veterans. They are student parents at the same time. And so they have a unique set of challenges that your, say, typical 18 to 22-year-old doesn't really deal with. And you know, because of those challenges, unfortunately, today they drop out at twice the rate as their on-campus peers. And so what we do here at Upswing is really create the opportunity for them to have the greatest chance of success possible by connecting them into school resources, like, you know, tutors, advisors, and counselors. We have our own network of tutors that are available as well. We even have a chat bot that helps nudge students, remind students, and encourage students all throughout both the application process for college, the process in between kind of high school graduation and college, which is typically calling summer melt. And then, you know, throughout their process while a college student as well to help them to graduate.
Yeah, you know, and it's so important. I want to say something, you know, because when we think of all this, we think of their academic success, all right, which is, of mm-hmm. course, is incredibly important, all right? But I have to say something else. If it's a student, especially one who doesn't have a lot of money, goes to college mm-hmm. for 2 years and then drops out, that's a very expensive proposition, all right? Mm-hmm. Very expensive. And the more we can do to help these students, be they veterans, okay, be they black kids from a lower socioeconomic neighborhood in my hometown, Philadelphia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they mess up, they're in debt, and we have to do everything we can to make sure they succeed besides all the other challenges they may have, okay? We got to help them economically. I mean, it's that simple. It's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal. Do me a favor, Melvin, tell everybody quickly your story as you related it in our magazine, okay, about your travels.
Yeah.
And what you learned. It's just such a beautiful story.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to travel to Tanzania back in 2000 and, oh gosh, I think 2010.
It's hard to believe the 2000s are so long ago. We can't remember them.
Exactly.
How old we are. Oh my God, this is pathetic. Yeah,
that's true.
That's funny.
You know, I think the juxtaposition there was really interesting because, you know, you really take a look at just some of the needs and concerns, you know, there and so many people were looking for ways to kind of lift themselves out of poverty, who could garner certain skill sets, but had a struggle with trying to apply it in a way that helped them and their lives and their family's lives. And that really spoke to me as well, because, you know, that was very similar to, you know, to my sort of background growing up as well, where, you know, I noticed that in my hometown of South Georgia, of Albany, Georgia, we were having many of the same issues. You know, I started off in a class of 250 students in my high school, and only 68 of us graduated. Fewer went off to college, of course. So when I finally got to the University of Georgia for undergrad, It was a really big deal. You know, it was written up in my hometown newspaper. But when I got there, I recognized that, man, so many of the students that I was there in class with had gone to such affluent backgrounds and had such affluent means that UGA was almost considered a fallback school for them.
Wow, that's scary right there.
You know,
UGA is a good school.
Yeah. It is very much
school.
And going on, of course, you know, I'm excited we're doing well in football right now. You know, it was one of those moments where I knew that this was what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to find a way to level the playing field for people, no matter where you live, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter who you are. And that was really a big part of, you know, what I think drove me so much to create Upswing, and really just kind of help to give back to many of those communities.
Right. And how did you wind up? I know you lived in Georgia. I'm going to ask my question the right way. Only 68 mm-hmm. kids graduated in your class. All right. And mm-hmm. obviously fewer than that went on to college. You did. How'd that happen? Okay, how were you able to get that together, or your school to get that together? Well, and I know you're a big guy. Was it an athletic scholarship or anything, or was it academic, or did you pass? Talk to me. Tell me how this happened. This is really cool.
No, it was. You know, I was a bigger guy, but not athletic. So unfortunately,
okay.
that was not the thing I was
able
to do.
I've been looking at your picture on the website. We've never met, but you look like a big guy. Okay. And by the way, you're going to start laughing when I tell you this. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
Before we get into this, all right, your picture is here. You're the CEO and co-founder with Alex mm-hmm. Pritchett. Okay, who is the mm-hmm. COO and other co-founder, am I correct?
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And how many times have you looked at the website? 12,000 times, right?
Probably.
Alex, you're going to love this, okay? You ready for this? You spelled Pritchett wrong.
Did I?
Go take a look. Okay.
Oh,
and it's one
man.
Of those things. It's one of those things you look at for 12 million times, you never notice till somebody else
never
tries to get on
it.
Yeah.
No, okay, that's really keen insight.
Don't die laughing when you just checked it. You'll fix that later today. Okay, but I found it funny. But anyway, tell the story. How did you get to in that environment, South Georgia, good people.
Yeah.
How did you get a low college rate? How were you able to do that? Because what you did, that's what you want to do, is help others, and not only that, but go on to even further education. So just talk about your adventures in that period of time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now we're going back even further. Let's see. I for sure would not consider myself to be, some student who was extra special compared to everyone else. I remember, succumbing to many of the same kind of peer pressures and, just things that all teenage kids think about. And I would say that the big difference for me, to be honest, was the support network, that I had around me. I grew up in a two-parent household, which just that by itself created so many more opportunities.
Yeah.
Most of my fellow classmates did not. And, that changes everything, right, in terms of the things that you
That's
get
right.
away with as a kid. In terms of the resources that you have, all those sorts of things. And then, my family, we're also a family of faith as well. And so I was at church every Sunday. And the biggest factor about that was the fact that many of the church members were also my teachers. And so if I did something wrong, everyone was going to know. It really wasn't until I got to college that I, because everyone tells you about all the opportunities that are out there if you just put your head down and do the work. But it wasn't really until I got to college that I really understood just how big the world is and how much of a gap there was between where I was and where everyone else was. And that was the first time I would say I was truly, truly motivated to want to, do my best to make a difference and to, finally have that passion. And I think a big part of it was the fact that I knew many folks back in my high school who were, I would certainly say were smarter than me, had 4.0 GPA, but for lack of things like, no access to, say, an SAT or ACT prep program, right? We were always told, oh, there's no way to prepare for that. You just have to, get a good night's sleep and drink some water and, bring two pencils. And, that's not true at all. So things like that, not having guidance counselors that could actually help point you to the right direction. Those were the first times I noticed those differences. And that was why it pushed me so much to want to even create Upswing, was saying,
man, how
many more of my fellow classmates would have been here today if they had even a sliver of those resources, or even the resources I had, right, in terms of my community, how much would their lives have changed? And so, I want to help break that cycle, and give people a fighting chance.
You're really something. You're a great guy, you and Alex. And I gotta say this, okay?
I appreciate that.
I think you have a degree in business. Am I right? A master's?
This is true. Yeah.
Okay. You have an MBA. All right. And I have to ask you. You're such a good guy. Okay, I want to include Alex in this too. But you guys, you're such a good guy. Okay. Why didn't you just go into business and make yourself $250,000 a year? I'm serious.
It would have helped my student loans, that's for sure.
I know.
Funny story. So I go off to law school immediately after undergrad. And
did you get a law degree? Did you get a law degree?
I did. Yeah.
Wow. That too. And I thought I read that.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm racking up this debt, right? I'm at Duke University, and it's a great experience, but you know, obviously, it's expensive, and so I go to law school. Decide that, you know, law probably isn't the best fit for me, so I end up doing the JD MBA program. So I also was in business school while I was there. And I am trying to figure out what do I do next, right? And I have, you know, many opportunities. I've been doing a lot of educational things around this time frame. Started a law review called the Forum for Law and Social Change while I was in law school. Did a few other things. I was actually teaching a first-year student success course at a local college at that time. And so I knew I was really passionate about this topic. But, you know, it certainly was enticing to kind of go and do some of the other things. And I had, you know, all these student loans. And so I ended up getting a consulting position immediately out of business school. For the first time in forever, I was actually, you know, I'm 28. I'm finally getting paid, and that's nice. And but you know, it was probably around 12 months in that I really was just thinking, man, you know, just back to that same experience growing up, and I always thought that's what I would be doing with my life, with just finding ways to level that playing field, not doing consulting. And man, it was a scary decision, but, after about a year of working there, I ended up, you know, putting in a notice with my boss and deciding I was going to go all in on this. And I've been doing Upswing ever since.
What year are we talking about that you started Upswing?
So I started, I officially quit my job and started Upswing in March, 2013. So it's been eight and a half years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and really, I mean, your story is amazing. Okay. And you really are a great role model. I mean, I really mean that. Okay. You're terrific.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
The way I want to say it, I don't say this, anybody you're trying to help, all they have to do is look at you. Okay, it's not like you're coming out of left field and you were the heir to the Quaker Oats fortune. Okay, I mean, you really, like, you know, you're living.
I appreciate that.
You're living their life, okay, and showing these students. I'm going to say kids, but some of them aren't. Okay, that they can really do it and succeed. And it's really just amazing stuff. Yeah, it's Upswing IO. So tell me then. Get down to the nitty-gritty of Upswing. I mean, it's easy to say all this, okay, but it is going to be a funny question. Tell us what Upswing literally does, okay? Let's say a high school or a college or a counseling department or a student calls you. Now what? Who calls you, and then what happens? So who calls you is first.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been really interesting, especially since COVID. We've gotten outreaches from all different kind of groups of people. So, including not just, you know, high schools and colleges, but foundations, nonprofits, folks who are, I think, starting to, sometimes for the first time, realize just how much of a drop-off there are for first-generation students who are trying to get into college.
Yeah.
And so we'll, you know, sometimes we'll get calls from the president or vice president of a foundation or nonprofit. We've also, you know, gotten fielded, you know, conversations from folks that are in online and distance learning at, you know, virtual high schools, at community colleges, HBCUs as well. And essentially the way that conversation begins is, of course, we'll show them the work that we do, and we'll move forward with getting everyone signed up. And at that point in time, it's up to us to make sure everything is up and running. So, in usually the first month of that interaction, what we're doing is we're integrating with different student information systems and things of that nature to pull in the right data for the students. Once we have that information in, we essentially go to work. So the very first thing that takes place is all of the students will receive a message saying, "Hi, I'm Anna," which is the name of our virtual assistant, "and I'm here to make sure that you succeed. I can help you with any number of things that are academic or non-academic that you're dealing with in your life right now. All you have to do is reply." And so, yeah, students will start sending in messages about the needs that they have. And when that takes place, our goal is to connect them in with the right resource. Most of the time it's on campus, but sometimes it's not. And so we will then, you know, let's say a student says, "I have a test coming up this Friday, and I have no idea how to do quadratic equations," or something like that. What we will do is we then connect them in virtually. All this is completely virtual to our own platform that is a Zoom-like experience. So there's audio, video, chat, there's whiteboards, screen sharing, document uploads, basically everything you need to have as close to an in-person experience as possible. And on the other side of that experience is either someone from that student campus or one of our coaches. All through their phone, all through their computer, all through their tablet, whatever it is they want to connect in with. We schedule that session with them. And it's completely, by the way, it's completely free to the students. They don't pay anything at all.
Who pays if anybody does?
So typically it is the institution or the foundation. What's happening is they're trying to figure out a way to keep more of these students in school. Maybe, you know, if it's a college, they are interested in keeping more students in school because, you know, it's costly to them as well if a student drops out. If it's a, say, foundation that's offering – and if it's a foundation offering scholarships, like, for example, we work with the United Negro College Fund, they know that it's costly for them to offer a scholarship to a student who doesn't graduate as well. And so pairing those resources with upswing services ensures that a greater percentage of those students actually succeed and ultimately graduate.
Boy, that is really good. And this you tapped on this at the very beginning. You said you also worked to some degree, I'm not sure how big a degree, with high schools. And I think this is very important because if kids don't apply to college and understand that their high school experience matters as they apply to college, okay, they'll never get to the college part, okay? It's that simple. So, yeah, which – that's not good, obviously, because we want them to be successful. So my question is, we want them to be successful in higher ed. I want to say that, not just the typical college. We want them to be successful in higher ed. Okay, and how do you work with high schools, which I think is an important aspect, just because you touched on it at the very beginning.
And, you know, I think this is even more critical because of the fact that we're of course, recognizing that there are many different ways, pathways that students can, you know, upskill themselves, first-generation students can upskill themselves and be ready for life. It doesn't necessarily always look like the typical college experience. It could be, you know, boot camps. It could be, you know, any number of upskilling opportunities. And so we want to help support them along those ways as well. So today, in fact, about a quarter of all the students who use Upswing are high school students. In fact, if you, you know, here's a plug for anyone living in North Carolina. If you are taking an online class through the North Carolina Virtual Public School System, you today have access to 24/7 help directly through Upswing's website. And so it's completely free to you, and you can access that. But, you know, how we work with them is, In a lot of ways, very similar. So Anna is usually the first point of contact with our high school students. Usually what we're going to do is focus a little bit more on getting them ready for that next phase in life. So helping them with their resumes, with their cover letters, or essays, depending on if it's trying to go to college or trying to get a job. We're going to help them with interview prep. We're going to work on filling out your FAFSA information. We're even wanting to eventually get to the place where we can help with them finding good scholarships that will help them with their learning in the future as well. So, we're creating all these opportunities for them to be as ready as possible. We obviously don't want to, replace guidance counselors. We can replace guidance counselors. But in a lot of cases, for students who go to schools like I did in high school, it might be one guidance counselor for hundreds and hundreds of students, and you never even get a chance to have that one-on-one conversation. So here is where we're trying to, augment that, help more students succeed, ultimately get them on that right pathway.
And how do the kids, how do the kids react, to all this? And the reason I'm asking that is kids are kids. And basically, they're smart-ass know-it-alls. I mean, let's be honest, okay? They know everything. All right, yeah, they're smart asses, okay?
Yeah.
And here's this. There's a virtual assistant, if I may, a whole team of virtual assistants, whatever, ready to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll ask this way. Do the kids take full advantage of that? Do they understand how helpful this is, or are they more, do you have to, force them and continually talk them into using it as opposed to them understanding how valuable this is?
That's a really good question. I think something really interesting has happened over the course of the last 8 years from what we've looked at. We create the tools, and we know that, teachers and professors and everyone else are telling students, hey, you should take advantage of this. And maybe they listen, maybe they don't. But what we've really seen is that with that chatbot, Anna, all of a sudden, students are telling us things that they weren't telling adults. Yeah, I think it's because it's less intimidating to talk over chat, and it's there's a little bit of an anonymity feel to it. And so, as a result, it's our responsibility when we get a message like that to find out how to best support that student as quickly as possible so that we can continue to build that trust with that student. And so that's been really where we've seen our secret talk is just working to continue to build the trust to show that, hey, if you're willing to be vulnerable, there is help at the other end of that line. Oh, and by the way, you're not the only one, right?
Yeah, and that's the key. Yeah, that's the key. You're not
exactly
the only one asking for the help. And sometimes you feel like you are. I mentioned a couple of obviously socioeconomic, there's racial. The big issues that affect your students, is that what are we talking about as you go through all this?
Yeah, so, the biggest thing, which I know a lot of people have likely seen over the last couple of years, but the single biggest thing was mental health. It spiked, pretty much immediately after COVID hit. There was anxiety over just not knowing what COVID was in those early days.
Yeah.
It's hard. It feels like we've been living this forever now. But if you think back to the beginning, there was exactly. It was a lot of anxiety at that time. There was a lot of isolationism and depression from students that were, who had canceled proms and canceled graduation dates and freshman orientation. That's stressful in and of itself. We saw just many more students, unfortunately, who were, struggling with, suicidal ideation, things of that nature. And so we knew we needed to add some help quickly to our suite of services. And so we created a partnership with a couple of really, really amazing organizations to provide mental health and wellness resources to literally every single student.
What organizations? The reason I'm asking I think maybe you heard me say this at the beginning of the show. We started our new social emotional learning website, which we call SEL Today, and we started a new section of the magazine called SEL Today, social emotional learning. That's exactly where this fits. What organizations have you worked with? I wasn't expecting this answer. So go ahead.
and we're really excited about it as well. It launched as part of our overall mental health and wellness module. We were able to partner with an organization called PsychHub that helps with different types of videos on, for example, what is a panic attack? A lot of people don't know what the symptoms of a panic attack are.
That's right. What does anxiety
look like? For example, you're having trouble sleeping or you're depressed. How do those different types of symptoms, progress so that you know what to look for? And then in case people need even more help, we actually created an assessment through an organization called Connected Minds. They do really, really great work that helps students understand how are they feeling about things that are happening in their world? And is this something where professional services could be even more needed? And by the way, we've actually worked with them to make sure that is available in both English and Spanish to help support students from several different backgrounds.
Excellent. I'll give you one more. These are good friends of mine. The American Psychiatric Association has a foundation, okay, and it's very involved in social emotional learning and social justice, okay. And I'm going to introduce you to Chris Seeley. I'm going to send you an email, the two of you, okay, Christopher.
That would be
Seeley.
Great.
Just so you guys know.
I appreciate that.
Okay, yeah, because I wasn't expecting that answer. All right, and so
that would be wonderful.
Let me pick you up with another foundation. Yeah. That was an interesting answer. I got to tell you, that really took me off guard. All right, I wasn't expecting that. it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I hope we got a warning down here, but I hope, everybody listening starts to get in touch because this is key stuff. And to me, one of the great challenges out there, and especially for a lot of the kids you work with. Okay, is not enough rigorous education. People aren't talking up to the kids and aren't teaching up to the kids. The expectations are low, so they have lower expectations, so they teach them differently. But what's amazing, is that the kids will rise to the occasion. They want to be challenged, okay? And we've made tremendous error with that. A tremendous error over the course of 100 years, I believe that. Well, 80 years, whatever it might be, okay, where we talk down to kids, not talk down sarcastically, but talk down academically. We've lowered the standards. And every kid will rise. They will. Teachers will be amazed. And it all has to do with the word rigor, all right? And we just have to be rigorous with these kids, okay, and you'll see the results. And it's going to make your life over at Upswing, Upswing.io, everybody, Upswing.io, a lot better. And the one thing, and I know you've helped a lot of kids get into college, but a lot of them could not pass their SATs, even with your help, Melvin, because on the SATs they spelled Pritchett wrong.
That's true. Always check your work.
The big question was, how do you spell Pritchett? Okay, and it's not partition. Okay,
that's
so funny. I'm telling you, you're going to go on your website. You're going to die. You and Alex are going to die laughing when you see this.
I'm looking forward to it.
Like I said, it's one of those stupid things. Okay, you can look at it a million times and not see it. You need other eyes. Okay, but it's pretty funny. Okay, that's pretty funny. I'll tell you, you've taken your life. I have one other question for you before we go, and you really made a difference in other people's lives. And I have one other question for you, which I found interesting. You went to Tanzania and Zanzibar, I might add, okay, which are, by the way, those are the two countries, the old Tanganyika and Zanzibar became Tanzania, okay? And see, I knew that. That was a good one, wasn't it? I know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And, but how did you discover? I that was your ancestral roots, right? In Tanzania, am I correct? Or did you just go there on vacation?
Yeah. So actually, it was a little bit different. I was working for an NGO at the time, and that NGO had a location that was based in Tanzania. And so a big part of my work was to help kind of build capacity there. And
thought it was an ancestral type of trip.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say Tanzania in particular, but I would say that a big part of the reason why I wanted to, you know, go back to the African continent was because
maybe that's the ancestral, the broader sense. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It was, I essentially saw it as me being the first kind of person in you know, my lineage to be able to make that trip back ever since, you know, we first left. And so I was really excited to just learn a little bit more about, you know, obviously every country has its own culture, but at least to be able to be a little bit closer and learn a little bit more about the culture there. And you know, what was really interesting was that, my folks and I, you know, we're of course, descendants of slaves, which means that in a lot of ways, it's harder for us to trace that lineage, but
yeah, of course.
Man, folks there, they treat you like a brother, like you're a long lost brother, and that was so
and a rock star. You must be
and
rich or American. Yeah, and I read it.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but you hang with Beyonce and Jay-Z. I know that. I know you do. Yeah.
That's, right. Yep. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, Beyonce, Jay-Z, if you're listening, I'd love to hang out with you.
Yeah, we're friends. Yeah. Tell them Larry said hello. They all know me. Yeah. You don't even need a last name. Just tell them Larry said hello.
I'll do that.
it's funny. Melvin, this was great. We love your article in the issue this month, and you're just a good guy. I mean, you are just a good guy. You really make a difference out there. It really matters, okay? I got to tell you. So
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Have a great day. Enjoy the fall. Okay, by the way, where are you?
Oh,
are you
I
North
am.
Carolina? Where are you, by the way?
I am. I'm in Durham, North Carolina, yep, where we first started up. Like, yep. So enjoying some nice fall weather today.
Yeah, what is it, 80? Nice fall weather in North Carolina. Yeah, I live in Maine. That's why we mock you. Okay.
That's about right.
Yeah. You have a great day, Melvin, and thank you so much. Good man.
All right, thank you too.
Be
Take
good,
care.
My
Bye-bye.
Friend. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Right. Melvin Hines, and if you want to learn more, and I hope you do, upswing.io. Upswing.io. And we'll archive at ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll see a link to SEL Today. All right, so I'll just leave it at that. But our new issue is up there, and Melvin's article is in the new issue, and you'll love it. All right. Great article. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We really appreciate you being here. Happy October.